It is actually extraordinarily peaceful. So, at least last year it was. I would like to just say a few words about the first day. Usually when we come to a retreat, we don't come along alone. We bring with us our impressions of the last week, the last month, the last year, even the last life. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in a totally different atmosphere. We are no longer in our bathroom, no longer on our mattress, no longer together with the people at home whom we live together with. We are clearly brought out of our comfort zone. And the reaction of the body and the mind is a slight irritation, a discomfort. This is good. If we do not leave our so-called comfort zone, in which we experience the same things which we always experience, and do the same things which we always do, there can never be space in our life for something new to happen. So the first day, and maybe also the second day, is a really exiting our old life and entering into the atmosphere of the retreat. And you will see, towards the end of the retreat, you can't imagine to leave the island of Ish. You just can't imagine it. I know during the retreats, participants, especially the Matajis, cry profound tears of separation when they leave the retreat. So I request you to just tolerate the reaction of the body and the mind. You are now doing a very important work. You're creating space in your life for something new to happen. This is what you do at the present moment. So, having said this, I wanted to make another... that is what I do at the end of the lecture. I want to go today with all of you into our first day. The subject matter of this day is aligning body, mind and heart to connect in such a way that we can connect with the holy name of Krishna. No? So we will hear a little bit later what this actually means. But I wanted to first, as the first step today, tell you a little bit about the kirtan in its historical perspective, the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he was doing the kirtan, and how he, what were his instructions to do kirtan. And in this way, I want to explore with you a little bit what this word kirtan means. And this is a very important lecture because it helps us to enter into the subject. We have called our lectures discovery lectures because we want to discover something, some new points, new insights which are helpful for our kirtan practice. So here is yes, I need some help, but somehow I'm also feel profoundly new in this seat and in this arrangement, and I have to also get used to this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Gopala Govinda Ram Shri
Madhusudan. Hariye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Shori Kiti Lakshi Loka Bali Hari Hari. Utila Mangali Dvani Svagamatya Bhari.
Utila Mangala Dvani Svagamatya Bhari.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. We are reading, or better, we are singing this morning from the 25th chapter of Matya Leela, text number 64. It is the way in which Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his associates used to chant kirtan. They chanted Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan. And Srila Prabhupada, he says, this is another way of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The meaning is as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He is a descendant of the Yadu family, Yadavaya. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Gopal, Govinda, Ram, and Shri Madhusudan. The next verse describes how this kirtan was done. It describes that thousands, if not millions of people participated in this and filled the four directions, east, south, west, and north, with a dvani. Dvani means an echo, a vibration which fills the sky. Dvani in Sanskrit is a very mystical word. It means an association which you have. For instance, if I would say pizza, the dvani in your mind, the echo, or psychologically said, the association would be something round, something with tomatoes and capiris and cheese, if possible. And in this way, a certain echo would be built. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, talks about the dvani here. In all directions, hundreds of thousands of people began to chant, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Thus there arose a tumultuous and auspicious sound filling the entire universe. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did kirtan, the universe became the kirtan mandala, the place in which the vibrations would circulate. In another place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada comments about this first kirtan song. He says, we are already accustomed to chant these two mantras, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasadi Go Bhaktavinda. And we are accustomed to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now after these, the other two lines should be added, namely, Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Especially in Mayapur. Chanting of these six lines, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, the other, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda too, then Hare Krishna and Hare Rama, four, and then Haraye Nama and Gopal Govinda Ram. Chanting of these six lines should go on so perfectly well that no one hears any vibration other than the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And then he says, he talks about Mayapur, that will make the Mayapur center spiritually all perfect. My dear devotees, the kirtan of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu is something very strong. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, everyone, including Muslims, were chanting the holy name, just foretelling the mission of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that is the widespread of kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his kirtan mission after his initiation from Ishwarapuri. When he came back from his initiation, he was a transformed personality. The way he walked on the road from his initiation back to Navadvip was something like you can see on this picture there at the entrance. You see Gauranga Mahaprabhu having his hands folded out. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes Mahaprabhu. He describes it in a dialogue. Someone addresses Gadadha Pandit. Oh, Gadadha! I saw the most extraordinary person on the road from Gaya. His form was very handsome. And he roared just like a thundercloud. His eyes rained tears as if they had become rain clouds. And he rolled about on the ground. His voice was choked up in the ecstasy of love of God. All glories to that Lord, the son of Sachidevi. Just imagine, the people of Navadvip were accustomed to Nimai Pandit. That was the previous name of Gauranga Mahaprabhu or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They knew him as an all-knowing Pandit, someone whose logical arguments were undefeatable. Now he walked on the road, not in the sober demeanor of a Pandit. He came dancing like there. He came rolling on the ground. He came back, how to explain this? You know, tears were coming out of his eyes like a syringe. And then he started to roll on the ground, like a golden mountain, which soon would become covered with the earth of the footpath, the dust of the footpath. His voice didn't speak any longer clearly. It was choked with ecstasy. Later, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he commented. He said he himself was amazed. And he went back to his Guru Maharaj and said, "What has happened with me? I have become mad or what?" And his Guru Maharaj didn't find anything wrong in this. He said, "Good, very good, very good, my child. You have developed the highest treasure, love, love of God. It has come." And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu explained, "This is what happens when you do the kirtan. The first symptom is you get love of Krishna in your heart. I want to say it very clearly. You get a disease called the blue madness." Krishna is blue, and a transformation happens. And this transformation, to become transformed in love, to become ecstatic in love, is the solution of the human dilemma. What is a life worth without love? What is the life worth without being melted in our heart and becoming fully God conscious? So this is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu was ready to bring. I would like to give you an example how Gauranga Mahaprabhu was filled with the holy names of the Lord and what it did to him. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu turned back from his initiation in Gaya, he returned to what he was usually doing. He returned to his school, his old school, where he was the school director. But he was no longer the same. In India, or in Sanskrit, when students come to a school and open their books, they will do this by chanting Hari Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Uh-huh. Before they study, this is a custom. Not before, but when they open the books, they will say Hari Hari. But they will usually say it out of custom, Hari Hari, you know, like this. When Mahaprabhu heard his students doing this custom of chanting the names, just out of a social custom, he had an extraordinary reaction. He heard this Hari Hari, and he responded in kind, but in ecstasy. Hari Hari! The students were, "What has happened to our teacher?" then started to give explanations about the books which had the content of the Sanskrit books, which were extraordinary. Every word he would explain in relationship to Krishna. This means Krishna. This means Krishna. This means that Krishna has these qualities. At the end of his instructions, he asked the students, "How did you find my explanations today?" The students said, "We couldn't understand anything, but they were very good." They could understand something had happened, but what it was exactly, what gripped the heart of their teacher, was still not known to them. Then one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his students down to the Ganga. And at the Ganga, there was a Brahmana. He was called Ratnagabha. And he was chanting an important Sanskrit verse. The meaning of this verse, which Ratnagabha the Brahmana was chanting at the banks of the Ganga, was a glorification of Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan. My dear devotees, this is the meaning. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue kanikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijajanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavana, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard this verse, he couldn't contain his ecstasy any longer. His ecstasy was remarkable when he returned from Gaya, and it surged high when he was in his school and he heard the names of Hari, Hari. But now when he heard this verse describing Krishna in Vrindavan and how Krishna is so beautiful and enters the forest of Vrindavan while playing the flute and while dancing on the ground of Vrindavan and covering the ground with his footprints, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just became wild with ecstatic love for his Lord. He began to shake. Then he fell on the ground, and he started to move about on the ground. His students were worried that maybe our teacher has some unknown case of bodily movement, you know, epilepsy or something. They tried to hold him, but 100 people were not enough to hold Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was moving so much. He was shaking so much. He was so totally ecstatic. More and more, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was ready to reveal his gift, the gift of ecstatic love. Finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day held a meeting in his school and said, "I can't teach you any longer. My mind is occupied from morning till evening with Krishna. You go home now or find yourself a better teacher." A student said, "We are unable to give up a teacher like you." Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at his students. Students which were already with him in a previous life. They were his eternal associates. And he told them, "For so long you have studied and listened from me. Now finish your education. Finish, finish. And glorify Krishna." The disciples said, "What type of glorification, what type of kirtan should we do?" And then the son of Sachi, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught them this kirtan, which you find here, and which I request you to sing. When he sang this kirtan, he raised his hands in the air, and then the Lord of Kirtan led the kirtan, and all the students sang, surrounding him on all sides. This kirtan is called the in Croatian it's called the Kruga kirtan, but I don't know in Sanskrit. Kruga means circle kirtan. When people gather around one lead singer in a circle, it's called the circle kirtan. And that was the first kirtan which took place. And here it is for you. Sometimes the word Hari is added in the beginning, so we will do like this. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari. Gopa Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari. Gopa Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari. Yadavaya Madhavaya Krishnavaya Nama Hari. Gopa Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Gopa Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna. Very good, very good. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was uncontainable in his ecstasy. People were not exactly clear what he was so joyful about? What was the reason from his ecstasy? It was unconventional. Here, a respected Sanskrit teacher who had gained the title of being the most expert pandit in the world by defeating Keshava Kashmiri, all of a sudden went beyond all limits and entered without any shame the ocean of ecstasy. People in Navadvip used to say, Nimai Pandit has gone mad. They couldn't understand. How can you understand a person who's in love? Not possible. It's not possible by outsiders to understand the confidential feelings of a person who is in love. You know, a person in love in this world will do things like jump up, run into the flower field and come back with two arms of flowers and put them before the door of Gospodamira. People will think, what has happened? It's very simple. This person has fallen in love with Gospodamira. But it's not understandable for an ordinary person. My dear devotees, in this first lecture, I want to say something. The kirtan is something for falling in love. And as we go along and hear a little bit about the Sanskrit and everything, it's a path. Kirtan is a path to enter into the presence of the Lord and then fall in love if you do it properly. Soon the kirtan expanded. First, Mahaprabhu wanted to train his devotees. He did this in the house of Srivas Thakur, Srivas Sangam, where every night he had nocturnal kirtans. They would dance and chant. And at that time, the kirtan was a very restricted affair. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew he wanted to create a worldwide revolution, and he needed to have help in this of devotees who could understand him. And therefore he trained the devotees in his kirtan. And it was a limited affair. You and me would not have been able to enter that kirtan. Outsiders were not allowed. Only his confidential devotees were allowed. It was not yet a preaching mission. In other words, if we would have been in that time and we would not have been already devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we would have been before our Krishna conscious career, there we would not have been allowed. It was not something which was done on the street. It was an inside affair, a closed circle affair, because Mahaprabhu needed to train his devotees. I sometimes say that in these kirtan retreats, we want to do the same thing. We want to create a circle of training, because then only if we know to do kirtan properly will we be able to bring others to the ocean of kirtan and give them the gift of chanting. Later, kirtan took to the streets, and the kirtan had to was tested. When Mahaprabhu told his devotees they are now ready to sit on the threshold of their doors and do kirtan there, the government of the Chandkazi was totally against it. It was a Muslim government. When I was preaching in a Muslim country, I was encouraged not to wear this dress and not to dance on the streets. One time I was dancing on the streets, just out of habit, and the devotees told me, don't do this here. It's very dangerous for you, for not so much for you, but for us who are associated with you. So that was the time then in Nadia when Mahaprabhu told his devotees to chant on their doorsteps. That is a semi-private arrangement. It was not yet on the streets. The government and the police force was totally against them. A madanga instrument was broken as a sign by the Chandkazi and his men. Don't do this. You are governed by Islam. You can't display your religion in public. The reaction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very proactive. He told the devotees, the time has come. And he called all of the devotees together, millions of devotees, and he did a public street kirtan and defied the government. And not only that, he went to the Chandkazi and his men and he converted them. They became, they also started to chant afterwards. That is the report which we have from the scripture. Maybe not all the Muslims started to chant. They chanted occasionally. When they saw the kirtan and it was ecstatic, they went, hurry, hurry! But Chandkazi became the government, the highest position of the government, the leader of the government, became a devotee of Krishna. He became a kirtan devotee. Then it spread all over India. Mahaprabhu went all over India. I think you know the reports. He chanted, and whoever came in contact with him similarly chanted. He walked on the streets, and farmers saw him. They came from the fields, and they saw the figure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tall figure, and they became electrified with his mystical chant and went back to their villages where they introduced the chanting to the villages, and it became a widespread chanting revolution, you could say. Maybe visible for the eyes, the chanting as far as numbers of people chanting together, Sankirtan, reached its climax in the annual Ratha Yatra festivals, where devotees from all over swarmed together in Jagannath Puri and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting and dancing. Sometimes some fortunate devotees were able to see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went so much in ecstasy that he expanded in seven forms. And chanted and danced. It was really something. The Lord of Kirtan came. In Berlin there is now a poster. And I always have to smile. It says, it's a dance show by the Lord of Dance. He's calling himself the Lord of Dance. And it's a person in a temporary material body with the known substances which are inside the body. He's in a dancing pose, and everyone gets ready in Berlin to come to the show and dance, you know. And I'm just thinking, you don't know. There's the real Lord of Dance, the Lord of Kirtan, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There's something else that's in the category of ecstasy. What exactly is Kirtan? What do we mean with the word Kirtan? What is a definition? Well, it comes from the Sanskrit word krit, which means to praise. Oh. The question is, who is to be praised? Jiva Goswami answers this. The one who possesses all beauty, all courage, all knowledge, and is capable of the supermost form of action. like lifting a hill, expanding himself in many forms, as many forms as there are devotees. The Lord Krishna is to be praised. You do it, you glorify the deity by chanting about his name, his form, his qualities and his leelas. You are taking instruments in your hands. If you don't have any, you take the most simple instruments. The karatals are fashioned after the hands. Then you sing. You're supposed to dance by putting your arms in the air. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, in Kirtan, we put the devotees raise their arms in the sky to, and they will purify the whole instrument, atmosphere. I'm sorry by this. And dancing is to be done in Kirtan. By this, the planet Earth is purified. In Kirtan, sometimes devotees pay obeisances to the deity because during the Kirtan, they are magnifying the deity. I don't know if you know what is magnifying. Do you know a magnifying glass? In Deutsch, ein Vergrößerungsglas. How do we say it in Povechalo, yes, Povechalo. When you take a Povechalo glass, something which appears to be far becomes very close. You know, you go like this, and it's very big before you. It's very visible before you. So in Kirtan, the Lord, who appears sometimes very far, is brought into our immediate awareness. And he's magnified in the sense that he occupies all of our awareness. This is what happens when you praise someone. I mean, if you want, I can praise now one of you. And you would see, all of a sudden, you would start to think about that person. No? Should I do this? No, then everyone would be red in the face. And by the way, it's the Lord who does superior forms of activities, who is to be praised. So, my dear devotees, the Kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is really that Krishna is brought into the perception and awareness of the person, and is magnified. It means he takes up all the space in the consciousness. Kirtans need to be done in a way which we will learn in the workshop, in a way where we are fully attentive and where we enter actually the presence of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, talked about the Kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He said, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And crying, just like a madman, "This is Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna. Bring Krishna, who is far away from your life. Bring him through Kirtan into your awareness. Start with this formula. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This is Krishna conscious. This is the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. When one will be mad after Krishna." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us the way, and the Goswamis also showed us that way. If you want to find the quotation, it's a beautiful lecture which Prabhupada gives. It's in the 6th canto, 1st chapter, text 39. See, I always want to say this. I become so sad when devotees are becoming normal. It's dangerous to become normal. Especially in Kali Yuga, it's dangerous to become normal. You know, take the normal fashion of the people. Take the ways, the cultural entertainment, the movies of the people of Kali Yuga. That's dangerous. It's a culture of forgetfulness of Krishna. It's not good to become a normal person, Ramananda. It's bad, especially in Kali Yuga. Become extraordinary. I don't want to say unnormal, because let me say, don't become ordinary. Let us use the word like this. It's dangerous to become ordinary. Become extraordinary. Like Akrura Prabhu will coach us to become extraordinary. He can coach us to become extraordinary. Become extraordinary. This is what kirtan is for: extraordinary people, for people who want to become extraordinarily attached to Krishna. Mahaprabhu teaches this to us. By this time, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood Mahaprabhu's mission. One of his foremost followers is, we have Prabhupada hinted at them, the six Goswamis. And one of these Goswamis, Sanatana Goswami, wrote, "The Sankirtan of Krishna's names is praised as the very best process and the most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prema." And again he brings this idea of magnifying. It is like a potent mantra, the Sankirtan of Krishna's name is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. When I was in India, I once saw this. I saw a yogi that was in the Himalayas. And I said, I had a dolmetscher, Paramatma was his name, with me. And I said to the yogi, "Can you please do something extraordinary?" And the yogi said, okay. And he chanted a mantra. And I don't know how it was. He chanted this mantra and all of a sudden there was a bicycle which was previously not there. This mantra, it was a mountain bike, Jai Gopal. Because it was in the mountains, you know. He went like, a bicycle. And then he looked at me with this glance, "Are you now satisfied?" "It's all right, it's enough." Yeah. Yes. This is something, you know. He went like, "La la 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 la." I don't know the mantra, so. And then it was there. Hare Krishna. And other things. I saw another yogi doing something else. wild things, you know. But then he said, "Toi nishta, that's nothing. We want Krishna," he said. "That's more difficult. For that you need to do kirtan and you need to do it purely." So Sanatana Goswami, he says, "The Sankirtan of Krishna's names is praised as the best process and the most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prema. It is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance." And Sanatana Goswami, when he pinned down this verse, must have had another verse in his mind. In this, we find once Narada Muni asking Krishna, Krishna, where's your permanent address? And Krishna, he says, I'm not living in the Vaikuntha worlds. I'm also not in the hearts of the mystic yogis. I'm not there. I come, mat bhakta yatra gayantri tata tishtami Narada. I come where my bhaktas sit together and they perform sankirtan. They chant gayantri, means sing my all auspicious names. There I come. So in this way, singing together with devotees, and I think our Danuda Maharaj will tell us about this. So in the afternoon, or in the morning, we have to... in the morning already, in the morning session, he will tell us. It is blissful, it is delightful, because it attracts Krishna. My dear devotees, there are so many mantras to do so many things. But kirtan means to attract, to do this one thing, to attract Krishna and come into the presence of the Lord. Then Mahaprabhu, he said how kirtan is to be done. And he gave two instructions in which to do kirtan. One is to do it in a humble frame of mind, trinada pi sunichena, tadoa api sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We will hear about this verse. And then the second instruction is, Anuradha, to do it with a feeling of perfect longing. You have to want. When you do kirtan, you have to long. You have to be mindful. Remember yesterday, you did your sankalpa. You focused on your intention, why you are here. This idea of what you wish needs to be there in kirtan. Don't come to kirtan as a social function. Okay, there's a kirtan, I see my friends, and so on. Come to the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu with a feeling of longing. He expressed this in this verse, which we all know. Nayanam galadashrudaraya vadanam gadgadarudaya gira pulakaya nichitam vapukada tavanamagrahane bhavishyati. And the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave examples what Gauranga Mahaprabhu meant with this longing. They did something which is customary in Indian philosophy or Indian teaching, and which made it also into the Western way. They took examples from the kingdom of the animals. They took two examples, the example of the Chataki bird and the example of the Chakravaki bird. The Chataki bird is a bird which drinks water only from the clouds which are pregnant with water. You know, these nice Ganashyama clouds, these clouds which look blue because they bring tons of water. These Chataki birds wait only for these clouds. They don't drink any other water. There was once a Chataki bird. He was so thirsty because all year it hadn't rained. And he was sitting on a tree on the which grew on the banks of the river. And he looked at the cloudless sky, and he chanted with tears in his eyes, "Jalde, jalde, give me water," to the empty-hearted sky. A hunter heard it. This is how a Chataki bird is. He took an arrow And he shot the arrow. My God, this is all mystical language. Into the body of the poor bird. And the bird fell from the branch of the tree into the water of the river. He was thirsty. And you know, when you die, your thirst is increased by 100 times. But he still looked to the sky. And dying, he shouted, Jaldi, give me water, give me water. He didn't drink the water. This, of course, is an extreme example of a person in love who will only go to the beloved and not anywhere else to quench his desires. It's an extreme example used in a mystical, almost Sufi-like language from Tulsidas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tradition, the determination of the Chataki bird is given, who doesn't drink water from the ground, river water, nothing. That's the analogy, take pleasure in material things, in worldly things. It's beautiful, isn't it? Chapko is a poet, I know, and he can appreciate this poetic way of saying. Longing for Krishna. We may not be able to practice our chanting at the beginning of the retreat like a Chataki bird, but at the end you might. No, yes, yes. The other example is the Chakravaki bird, but I will not tell this example now. It's an even more interesting story, how the Chakravaki bird chants. So, Mahaprabhu's kirtan was like this. He gave, there were two serious consideration. There was one serious consideration, one. He said to his devotees, do not do offenses against Vaishnavas and against the holy names. That is what he really wanted. He was very strong on this. He said, someone who is an offender against Vaishnava, he may chant, but the chanting will turn against him. He said, someone who offends Vaishnavas, he may take a bath in the Ganga, but the bath, the power of the bath will turn against him. He really said, if you do these powerful processes and you at the same time commit offenses, then the power which is liberating you will pull you in the material world. He was very strong about this. Otherwise, everything was very simple. This was a serious consideration. And he showed this in his Leela when he punished Gopal Chakravarti, a Brahmana who had offended his dear devotee Srivats. When Gopal Chakravarti came to him and after he had made an offense against Srivast Thakur, his body was covered with leprosy. And he went to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, knowing that he's the Almighty God, and said, please forgive me, take this away from me. I'm eating alive by this disease. Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, no, you have made an offense. No mercy for you. But because he's Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the second time when Gopal Chakravarti met him and again asked to be released from the offense, Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, I won't do it. You have to go to Srivas Thakur, ask him for forgiveness. And Gopal Chakravarti did this and was released from the offense. Mahaprabhu's teaching is very simple. Namaruchi, Vaishnav Seva, and Jivadaya. Taste in the holy name, worship the Vaishnavas, do service to them, and show your compassion to your fellow neighbors and your fellow living entities. No? That is all what you need to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Develop taste in the holy name. Serve the Vaishnavas. Do not commit offenses. And be compassionate to others. Treat them well. So these are some considerations about the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He developed a kirtan school in which he taught how to do this kirtan. Mostly he was teaching by his example, and he made people ecstatic. And in this way they became very glorious in their Krishna consciousness. So much more to say, but so little time. Thank you very much for listening. We have a little time for questions. Mangala has one question. And Gaur Hari has the second question. Yes, we leave it with these two questions. Yes, Mangala. Mangala, could you just wait? Then, when you speak in the microphone, it is recorded. So let us give. By the way, I really want to take this opportunity. I know that many, many, many people, devotees and persons and friends listen to these lectures. I want to greet you, and I regret we are on an island. There is no internet connection, so we won't have this as an online course like we usually have. But you will get a summary by our talented filmer, Vladko, who will cut some lectures together and make a film from this. So, yes, Mangala, your question is here.
Thank you so much for the class. I'm just wondering, I can imagine how chanting of the holy names can turn against someone. Maybe could you explain this? You said that when someone commits offenses, then the chanting turns against them. How does this happen?
Yes. This is so interesting for Krishna Sharan that he stops his other services and wants to hear this. He just went to do his service, I believe, in the kitchen or somewhere, or his. Mangala, to be very, very honest with you, I have read this verse. It's from Chaitanya Bhagavat. The only way I can imagine, but I will turn to Danuda Swami in a moment, is like this. See, with chanting the holy names, our idea is to please the Lord and to come into the presence of the Lord. Now, when a person commits a Vaishnav aparad, the Lord is not really pleased with him, but he is displeased. And he himself becomes his displeasure is very strong. Let me give you an example. That's the only I have thought about this. You know, someone does something let me say, someone comes to you and does something which hurts you very much, and he comes into your presence. Then, when he is in your presence, your hurt and maybe anger is turning against that person who is in your presence. So this is the only way I can understand. When you hurt the Lord's feeling and you do kirtan, the Lord is not saying, oh, he did kirtan, but he will give prominence to his feeling of being angry with you, and the anger will be released towards you. That's my answer. I admit it's not the best answer. Do you have something to add to this question?
Yes.
Well, I'll try to say something. It seems that the contradiction that she's pointing out is that the Holy Name is always beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's a contradiction with turning against.
Yeah.
So I would say that the turning against the person is not against the person's benefit, but it's turning against the person in the sense that there may be some punishment or something that happens in the person's life that is very, very difficult for the person.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be against benefit. The Holy Name would still be beneficial, but it would be working towards the person to purify them of that offense, which could be a very, very heavy thing for the person.
Wonderful. Wonderful explanation. Thank you. Thank you. Gaurav Hari, what is your question?
Yeah, when I was hearing from you how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was becoming mad after chanting the Holy Name, after getting the mantra, I was trying somehow to see that in our world, that how it would be possible to become mad like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while chanting the Holy Name. And, I mean, we gave a lot of instruction on how to chant. I would like if you can give us some tips. How will that ever be possible?
Because some of you are new, I will exchange the word mad for extraordinary. Huh? Because I don't want you to leave after the first day of the Japa retreat. Ordinary is one thing, and extra means beyond the ordinary. So, Gaurav Hari, an extraordinary person doesn't know that he is extraordinary. Or a madman doesn't know that he is mad. I was watching both you and Sadanandi. We were on the same flight. And it's not so easy to be with Sachinanda Swami, because I always look at everything very intently and very differently. So I was just sitting there, and Sadanandi was sitting in another row of seats. We were in the waiting lounge, and she was going, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, like normal devotees do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the people were really like... And of course, Sadanandi doesn't see a thing, you know. And the people go... Then they came to you. You have bathing slippers on and go on with bathing slippers on an international flight. People were looking, and you, of course, never. You don't see this any longer. Like an extraordinary person doesn't see how he's extraordinary, you know. And There was this one German lady. The devotees don't see these things. I must be the only non-devotee to see these things, you know, how people react, you know. And I thought, well, if I tell these two devotees that they are maybe a little bit too extraordinary, they will become angry at me. I know this. They're, you know, so I better don't say anything. And you were doing something else, something with an apple you did, and you may remember something with an apple. We don't need to go in detail. And people were just. And I was going, but I don't say anything because everyone will get mad at me if I say anything. When you chant, sit there and chant, it's extraordinary. So you have started on your extraordinary. Now if you take out the false ego of doing it because you wish to be extraordinary, then you come to a state of exalted spiritual life. Devotees must learn. They become extraordinary, and they must now subtract the false ego, which tells them, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and do it in a humble state of mind. Then they can become very exalted in a short time. Also, when you become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you really don't see it. You will always see that I'm an ordinary devotee, if it's a real thing. That is, you will not have any false ego about it. The most exalted devotee, or to give it in your language, the most devotee who is most extraordinary will think, I'm not extraordinary. He will defend himself. No, I'm the most fallen. If you can do this, extraordinary humility, a paradoxical position, then the Krishna consciousness can work. But if you are not in this paradoxical position, if you are extraordinary and proud like many of us, nishta, nothing. So, these were the two questions. I want to now thank you very much for listening to this first class. We are extraordinarily on time because we have something very important to say. Is Govindanandan also there? Please, Govindanandan and Banu Nandini, we will introduce to you now, give them a microphone, please. We will introduce to you now a very important praxis in the active learning department, which will help you very, very much to make most use of the of this Japa retreat. I would like to request you to first introduce the buddy system and what that is, and give us reasons why it is. Yes. So let us. This is very, very important. For all of you, maybe Ramananda Prabhuji, we need you for this there because you are one of our teachers. Yes, yes, yes.
Hare Krishna devotees, good morning. Thank you very much for the very wonderful
test. Nishta, nishta.
So I will start by saying that we have done a few retreats or a few more retreats all over the world, and we can notice some specific things that happen with the devotees. When devotees come to these retreats, usually they become so inspired, or they get so inspired and highly motivated at the end of their retreat and very, very spiritually nourished.
Obično kad obate dođe na takav retreat i kad on završi, on je postupati su jako motivirani, na neki način su nastavljeni duhovno i na neki način imaju očekivanje.
But the thing is, when they go back homes and to their ordinary daily lives, their motivation in time of a week, it goes down.
I onda, kada dođu doma, njihova motivacija, na neki način, s obzirom da se suoče sa onim što ih čeka doma, već nekih tjedan dana počne padati.
It does not go down because they wish that it goes down, but because they turn again to their normal work days and they have families and, you know, so many things to think about, and they're not anymore in a retreat position where they are really bent away from all these daily obligations and where they can just focus on the spiritual subject matters.
Njihova motivacija pada ne zbog toga što bi oni to željeli, nego iz tog razloga što ih čekaju sve dužnosti koje su uobičajeno obitelji posao. I u stvari, s vremenom ta motivacija neophodna ili više, odnosno pada prema dolje, zato što više nisu u onom zaštićenom okruženju ili trita.
Another thing that we notice happens with devotees is there are so many nice points during the lectures. There are so many things they learn that at the end of the retreat they feel an information overload.
Još jedna stvar koja se dogodi, da bakte tijekom ovakvih retreata čuju toliko mnogo predivnih poanti, toliko mnogo predivnih stvari, i onda zna se da dogodite da na kraju retreata imate jednostavno poplavu informacija koju ne možete apsorbirati.
And with the very best desires and intentions to maybe listen again to some classes or to go back to some points, but it doesn't happen all the time because of our daily duties.
I onda iako možda bakti imaju želje da se vrate na one pointe koje su čuli na retreatu i da pođu ponovo kroz njih, to se ne događa zato što na neki način čeka toliko drugih svakodnevnih dužnosti.
So our team, we were really thinking, how could we really help devotees, how could we really facilitate them so that they make a good experience in the retreat, that they are spiritually nourished, that they process all the informations that they have gathered, that they don't experience this information overload, and more than that, that they can really take a practice back home and practice it in their daily life.
Što učiniti da se dogodi to da bakte kada dobiju određene informacije na retritu, da onda mogu to stvarno i procesirati, proći kroz to i na neki način staviti to u praktičan život kasnije.
So we were researching on the internet and we really decided to make our retreats more interactive and to bring the active learning part to the retreats.
Živjeli smo preko interneta i promišljali puno o tome, i zaključili smo u stvari da želimo napraviti retreat interaktivnim, odnosno da postoji taj proces aktivnog učenja.
So we really request you to work with us in that sense, to follow what we give you to do.
I molimo vas da surađujete sa nama i da slijedite ono što vam damo kao zadatak.
Because it's really only for your benefit. And even if your mind says, oh no, now I have to write something, or oh no, please try to do it, it will help you.
I molim vas da surađujete, čak i ako se ovom bude budi rekao, ne, opet moram nešto raditi, pisati, molim vas da surađujete sa nama.
And Maharaj, when we really developed this active learning techniques or tools, then he said, but this is not different at all from our Vedic injunctions, how we should learn and study.
I Maharaj je rekao da to što mi želimo da uvesti aktivno učenje, rekao da se to apsolutno ne razlikuje od onoga kako je inače zamišljeno vedsko učenje.
In the Vedic science, or the Vedas tell us that there are three parts of gathering information.
Vedi nam kažu da postoje tri dijela kod usvajanja znanja.
Or three steps. One is shravanam.
Prvi je shravanam.
It means we hear the information.
To znači da čujemo informaciju.
Then it comes to reflecting the information or mana.
Onda je promišljanje o toj informaciji i manaha.
And then nididhyasan, or really imbibing information deeply in our system and applying it.
I onda je nididhyasan, to znači da apsorbiramo tu informaciju i jednostavno da ju živimo, da ju prakticiramo.
Because only when we apply what we have learned, it will really bring results to our lives.
Jer rezultate našeg života doneće upravo ono što primimo u našem životu.
So, this was a little bit the background, and now I will introduce one system that we will ask you to follow here. It's the body or the peer system.
I sada ovo je bio jedan mali uvod ono što želimo predstaviti, a to je sistem body bio kao jedan prijatelj ili kompa.
So I really am not English native speaking person. I don't know another good name for buddy or peer. So what is a buddy?
Friend.
Yes, it's a friend, but
što je kompa? Special friend.
Special friend, yes. So you can imagine a buddy as somebody, or you can imagine in this way. When you go on a journey and you travel to a far distant place, you have a specific expectation what to experience and so on, what to see and what to do on that journey.
I gledamo na neko putovanje koje je putovanje na veliku udaljenost, onda obično imamo očekivanje što želimo vidjeti, što želimo doživjeti na tom putovanju.
And this journey would not be as interesting if you would not meet a friend on that journey.
I tako putovanje ne bi bilo nimalo zanimljivo ako ne bismo sreli prijatelje na tom putu.
So it's mostly you meet new people with whom you share your experience, with whom you talk about what happened and what you really wish to do, and you just, you know, share so many things.
I obično ono što se dogodi da razmjenjujemo puno stvari sa našim prijateljima na putu i na neki način dijelimo iskustvo.
So in the same way, you please consider this retreat as your journey.
I na isti način, molim vas da promatrate ovaj retreat kao vaše putovanje.
It will have five stations. We will sail across the ocean of material nations. And it will have five islands on that on these islands we will stop, and there will be our guides giving us some treasures or some land maps to find our treasures.
I u stvari provest ćemo vas kroz ocean materijalnog neznanja i bit će pet otoka. Na tom otocima će biti blago, u stvari više će biti upute kako da dođemo do blaga.
So in order that you find your treasure and that you have your experience, we would ask you to now turn around, Prabhus with Prabhus and Matajis with Matajis, and to please look for somebody who would be your buddy, your acquaintance, your journey friend on this sail across the ocean trip.
Kako bi spravili kroz to iskustvo, sad vas molimo da se okrete jedni prema drugima, Matajis prema Matajima, Prabhus prema Prabhusima, i da u stvari nađete sebi kompu s kojim ćete proći kroz ovo duhovno putovanje koje sad prolazi na redu.
One suggestion and one very important thing. It's good if it's not your best friend.
Ja, jedna sugestija vezana za to. Dobro ako to baš nije vaš najbolji prijatelj kojeg znate od prije.
Why? Because the person you meet new will be more objective and you will be really more focused on the questions that you will need to answer than on what's going on in your life, how do you feel, and so on, like you do usually with your friends. It's really that you get the best experience. So just now, please turn briefly and try to see who could be your partner.
Znači, bolje je da nekako nije toliko poznat, nije toliko poznat, jer će biti puno objektivniji. I onda ono pitanje koje treba je usmijeniti će vam pomoći da izvučite stvari više iz cijelog zemlje. Okay,
maybe we should be 3 minutes or...
Okay.
You will try to see that your body, for instance, comes on time to all the lectures.
Povremeno ćete se, na primjer, da vaš kompa dođe na svaku predavanje točno na vrijeme.
Okay. Then, please. Then you will see that you take a cushion for your body, that you can sit comfortably.
A onda povjerujem ćete se da vaš kompa ima svaki put kad dođete jastik. To za sjedenje.
In the room, sir. Be creative.
Budite kreativni, slušajte vašu kompu, snađite se.
Sam kušak raso.
Okay, so with your body, we really ask you, it's going to be your very, very intimate friend with whom you will share what you experience during the day and what you have learned during the day.
I sa vašim kompom ćete u stvari razmijeniti što ste u stvari, koje iskustvo ste doživjeli i kako ste ga kušali tijekom dana.
You will also discuss with him about the difficulties that you may experience about some points or that maybe you did not understand something well. So you go to your body and you tell him and the body should tell you his feedback or you know give you some other experience.
I ako imamo nekih poteškoća, nešto možda niste najbolje razumijeli na predavanju, onda vaš kompa je u stvari tu da vam da feedback, da vas sasluša, da vam pomogne na neki način.
So you will help each other succeed in this retreat.
I jedno drugome ćete pomoć da uspije na ovom retreatu.
So today we are landing on our first island and at the end of today we will post a question that you will need to discuss with your body and write these questions down.
I danas ćemo doplivati do našeg prvog otoka i na kraju ćete morati postaviti jedno pitanje s ovom kompi i onda ćemo trebati odgovoriti na njega.
Okay. Is now everything clear about the body system?
Yeah. Sve jasno?
This discussion at the end of the day, is there time to do this or is it...
You can do it really very openly, like during light snack prasadam, or you know maybe you do it during lunchtime. It's really open, but the last question you will get at the end of the day. So it's not a space where you will discuss like that room. You just go in there, eat, and talk.
Because I guess it takes half an hour at least, or to really go.
Znači, ono što je dobro da iskoristite pauze u danu, kad se možete naći sa svojim kompom, da li to za ručkom ili na večer. Zadnje pitanje će biti na večer, ali i tijekom dana vi možete diskutirati o ovim temama koje smo razgovarali.
Okay, we will end our evening classes at 8 o'clock in the evening time. So it takes you half an hour before the kirtan starts, if you wish to do the kirtan.
Znači, lekcija će završiti negdje u 8 i ima vremena do prespavanja da možete razmišljati.
And we really request you, we have made those devotees who follow this study system in Radhanesh retreat, they are really very, very excited and very grateful. It's really helpful for you, for your own processing of the information that will be taught during the day.
I oni bakti koji su sudjeli u ovom sistemu gdje su imali kompu na Radhanesh, imali su jako dobro iskustvo i bili su jako zahvalni u tom.
Ich glaube, das andere tun wir nächstes Mal. Nicht jetzt, nicht jetzt. Yeah, yeah. So,
thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very, very much. Please try this out. It will really help you to digest what you hear, and it will give you... You will see, you will see. All right, then I would suggest we end our program here. Please take your prasadam and as far as the rest of the program is concerned, one moment. As far as the rest of the program is concerned, there will be kirtan in the temple here from 10 to 11 o'clock. You can participate if you wish. It is not obligatory. If you wish to do something else, but I sincerely request you to be back for 11 o'clock when we will have a presentation by both myself and Danuda Swami on which will be very important for your retreat. Huh? So if you wish at 10 o'clock you could come. I think it's very nice to do kirtan, but at 11, please be here. So I wish you a nice prasadam. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna.